Turn in your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 8. Miracles are an evidence of supernatural reality. The many miracles that Jesus did, from the width of calming a storm, the winds and the sea. I don't know how many of you have ever been out on the sea in a storm, but it is a scary thing. Those that are in the Navy understand what it's like to go outside the boundaries of seeing any land and have a storm happen so you don't see the sun. You don't know if you're north, south, east, or west, and the waves are 25 to 50 feet high and the boat is going crashing. All you got to do is one time watch Deadliest Catch on the History Channel. And that's the guys that go up to the Bering Sea to catch crab. And those ships go in the worst conditions that you can imagine, risking life and limb to make all that money. Well, Jesus was on a boat with his disciples, and they were in fear of their lives. The storm was that bad. The Sea of Galilee is wide. It's fresh water, but they call it a sea. Depending on where you are, it has different names, the Sea of Tiberias and such. But storms there can be very much like the ocean because of the width, because it is like a big canyon that the wind can blow through. And they were in fear of their life, and Jesus simply spoke to the winds and the sea, and they obeyed him. He raised the dead. He healed every manner of disease and sickness. And he didn't do it to put on a sideshow. Unlike these phony faith healers that crack crutches and throw away walking sticks and hit people in the head and blow on them and they fall down on the ground, all that sort of thing. That's not the kind of thing that Jesus did. What Jesus did was truly heal the sick instantly, and it was for the glory of God. It revealed who he is and why he came to help the people. He had power over demons, the elements. I'll give you one for the faith healers. Jesus simply spoke the words that a servant would be healed, and when they got home, the servant was well. He didn't even have to go and put on a show for anybody to say that he got well. What Jesus did, he did before hundreds of witnesses. Jesus healed one man that was let down through the ceiling, no doubt probably the porch of a house that nobody else could get in. It was packed because Jesus was there. And four friends carried this man and tore open the roof and let him down in there. And the Bible says Jesus healed him because of their faith, the faith of those that brought him to Jesus. Do you have faith that you can get your family members to Jesus, that Jesus can help them? I hope we're all busy in bringing people. Nathan, that was the first bus ministry. You get four guys carrying somebody to Jesus, they're big wheels. You get four big wheels together, you got a bus, you know. So that's where we go. Miracles are the mighty power of God at work. They are wonders to behold. They are ergon in the Greek, meaning works. Energy comes from that word also. Virtue went out of Jesus when he healed people. It was a work of God. And they were signs that God's prophecy was being fulfilled. The Messiah had come who would be the Lamb of God and the Savior of all who would believe. And we thank God that Jesus died. As they said today, he died for us. And he rose again for us. Thank God for what he's done. Now, we studied the things that Jesus taught while he was in Galilee, and then we began to look into the miracles that Jesus wrought after he finished the Sermon on the Mount. He healed the leper, and then he healed the Gentile centurion's servant. And he did that by speaking the words without even being in his presence. Next, Jesus went to Peter's house. They left the synagogue. No doubt this was the synagogue that the centurion had built for the people who came to him and asked him to help this centurion's servant. and said that he had built them a synagogue. So they went to the synagogue, and Jesus spoke there, cast demons out of a man there, and now they left the synagogue, and close by is Peter's home. And they go into Peter's home in chapter 8, in verse number 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw the great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. Father, bless the message today to the hearts of your people. And if there's anyone who's lost who hears this, we pray the Holy Spirit will work in their heart to help them see their need of Christ. They might have a love for him who loved them and gave himself for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you get sick enough, you'll get help. I'm one of those kind of people that I got to get really sick to seek help. I'm cheap, for one thing, and I think I know as much as most doctors do generally, not scientifically, but generally. And I've been in the hospital so much when I was wounded and around medicine so much that I treat myself most of the time. But if I get sick enough, even I will get help. By the way, speaking of needing to pray for folks that have sickness, Miss Joyce Osteen's here today. She moved to the beach on us, but she came back for a visit today. And she's having terrible trouble in her back and walking and that sort of thing. So please remember her in prayer and ask the Lord to give her help and meet her needs, please. Now, I treat myself. If I got a cold, I take NyQuil to sleep and DayQuil to go during the day. And I seldom stay home because I'm not feeling good. I used to take ibuprofen for aches and pains, and my kidney doctor made me quit taking ibuprofen, and I had to start taking Tylenol, and it doesn't work nearly as good for certain things. But I guess it's a little bit safer. But if folks get sick enough, they'll go to the doctor. I like that commercial where the guy said, I'm not really a doctor, but I play one on TV. And when you get sick at home, you play doctor at home. And talking about a particular medicine. Well, this woman was really sick. She was in the bed. Luke chapter 4 and verse number 38 says she had a great fever. It was a high fever. It was something that apparently just putting a cold compress on her head and taking to the bed was not going to make it well. And Jesus came into the room, and if you read Luke's account, you'll find that the friends there appealed to him about her sickness. He went to her there in the bed and took her by the hand and raised her up completely healed, and she immediately began to minister to them and to probably prepare a meal and things of that nature to help. When we get sick, we pray. We seek God's help. We ask for wisdom. And if the sickness continues, quite often we'll go to a doctor or a pain clinic or something to try to get some relief. I've had folks give me ideas about medicines or how to treat something and that sort of thing. And I often jokingly tell them, listen, I'd go to a witch doctor if I really thought he could make me well. You know, when you're in pain suffering enough, you'll seek help. And if you understood today your condition without knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, my friend, you're not only under the condemnation judgment of God, but you're as bad off as you could possibly get. You say, well, I'm not a wicked sinner like a lot of other people are. No, but you got the same sin nature that's condemned by God that they have, and you have the ability to be as bad as they are. But God can save you and give you the gift of eternal life if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sickness could have many reasons. Sadly, some of the things that people have today are contagious. We have to be careful about contagious diseases. If they're passed by coughs, the air that goes out when people cough, if they can be transmitted that way, we have to be careful. That's why the mask mandates in a lot of places, because of COVID. And it can be transmitted by touch in some ways. AIDS has been a horrible illness in the country that people did to themselves by sexual sins, but it's been transmitted to people through blood transfusions and through shared needles and drug use and all that sort of thing. And so it's transmitted through the blood primarily. Sickness could have a demonic aspect. In Matthew 8:16, they brought those that were possessed with devils to Jesus that he would heal them by casting out the demons from them. And even in Luke 9, the story about when he came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, a father met him with a child that the Bible says was lunatic. He could not control himself. He cast himself in the fire or the water. And it was because he was demon-possessed, and the disciples could not cast the demon out. Jesus said, "This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." This was a strong demonic influence in this child, but Jesus cast the demon from him and healed him immediately. Now, we who have good health should always praise God. You get up in the morning and you're alive, you got something to eat, and you got a roof over your head, and you got a car to drive. You ought to thank God for everything that you have. Thank God if you feel good. Thank God if you're of age and you've lived this long by the grace of God. We ought to be a people that serve God and praise God all the time. This woman got well, she immediately began to serve. Immediately she began to minister unto them that were there. So many people enjoy good health and use it running away from God rather than running to God. Instead of being thankful for what they have, they're abusing their privilege of enjoying their own life and care less about other people or about serving the Lord. It's important that we have compassion. And if you've been sick and had illness and surgeries and hardship and pain, you have compassion on others who go through those same things because you know what they feel like and you know what it is to suffer. You think, well, I might know, but does God really know what individual people suffer? Listen, Jesus suffered the cruelty of the cross for you and for me. He is our great high priest, and he does not overlook the sympathies he has for our infirmities, and he can help us if we come to him in faith. Some sickness is caused by sin. Those who drink alcohol can damage their liver and their pancreas and their brain cells. Drug users can do the same, and shared needles can pass all kinds of infections from one person to another. At Corinth, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians rebuking the Corinthian believers because they had abused the Lord's Supper. And some were drinking great amounts of wine, celebrating the Lord's Supper. And he said, "Many are sick among you, and some are dead, some sleep because of the abuse of the Lord's Supper." You see, friends, when you deal with God, you got to deal honestly. He knows exactly what your lifestyle's like. He knows exactly how you're living. He knows exactly what you're doing. And it is imperative that when we approach Him, that we see ourselves as the sinful people we are, and the first thing we do is bow our head before Him and praise Him for salvation and ask Him to cleanse us of all our sins. You can get sick because of stress and overdoing it at work. I know Brother Gary's working today because his crew, he's lost employees and he's got to try to fulfill his contracts. The last two Sundays, he's had to work and cut grass and do the jobs that he does by himself. And with whatever help he has, I think maybe Tyler is still here with him. And he's overdoing it right now. And we pray for him because we don't want to see him, you know, hurt himself physically and abuse himself in some way. When I started having chest pains, I knew there was something abnormal going on with the chest pains. I went to my regular VA doctor, talked to her. She gave me an EKG right then. Nothing showed up. I went to one of these neighborhood tests where they test all your arteries. Nothing showed up wrong. I had a stress test at the VA hospital. Now, to get that stress test and go through that procedure, it took 7 months. The stress test showed nothing abnormal. I went back the next month, 8 months now from the time I'm having these chest pains and shortness of breath, and the doctor, the cardiologist said, you need a heart cath. This is the only way we're going to really know. So I don't like them cutting around my groin area. You know, I was really stressed out about that, and the doctor went through my wrist right there. That was a breeze. He put that thing in there. He wasn't in there a second or two. He showed me on the camera. He said, you got two arteries completely blocked. I'm thinking I had those three major tests, and it didn't show anything. Now they know what's wrong. I said, well, have I got to have open heart surgery? He said, oh, no, we can open those up. I said, praise the Lord. So they scheduled me. By the time I got it done, it was about 10 months from the time that I started having chest pains and shortness of breath. They went in my wrist again. One of those arteries was so clogged they had to drill it with a drill. And the other one, they did the angioplasty. And they put stents in both. That doctor said, when I do a heart cath with one stent, I allow 45 minutes for the operating room. I was on the table for 3.5 hours. It took that to drill that artery out to get it opened up to put the stent in. And I thank God they were able to do that. And I thank God they were able to do it that way. And I thank God that it rejuvenated my energy and my health. And I'm so thankful for that. I appreciate what those doctors did, but I thank God for the healing, my friends. And we all need to be a thankful people. Epaphroditus was sick unto death in Philippians 2, verse 25 through 30, because of serving the Lord and the people of the church. He had gone so much for the church, he had depleted his health. Now today, secondly, Jesus came to this woman, Peter's mother-in-law. One writer said Peter may not have forgiven the Lord for healing his mother-in-law. That's just a joke, you know. Mother-in-laws are like husbands and wives. There's nothing better than a good one, nothing worse than a bad one, you know. So you take it from there. He took her by the hand, raised her up, and she was immediately well. As soon as she was well, she immediately began to serve. She began to help. She began to do something. Many want to get well because they're sick, but they want to get well so they can do as they please. I've heard it 100 times. I want to get well so I can enjoy my grandchildren. Well, that's a wonderful thing to enjoy your grandchildren, but first you need to put the Lord in there. You need to serve God first, and then God will make a way for you to enjoy your grandchildren. Many want to do what they want to do. They want to go on a trip. They want to go on a cruise. They got a bucket list of things they want to do. Well, God said, if you seek me first and the kingdom of God, then all your needs of food and shelter and clothing will be added unto you. So let's never forget that. We need to serve the Lord. And if we got health and strength, we ought to seek to be faithful to the Lord to the best of our ability. She immediately began to serve. We're not saved by serving, but we are saved to serve. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, in verse number 10. Now, I don't presume to have all the answers about people's sicknesses and healing. I know that God can still heal. And I know that when anybody is sick in our church, we pray for them and we ask for God's healing. But our prayers of sincerity are used by the Holy Spirit of God with the Father because He knows what we have need of better than we do. He knows what He's doing in this situation better than we do. And so we pray for people to be healed. But I want you to know that if you're going to be healed of a severe illness, you need to have the attitude that you're going to put God first in your life from this time forward and serve the Lord to the best of your ability. We are fruit trees that belong to God, and we're to produce good fruit for Him. The Holy Spirit produces through every believer love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And if we're not producing those things, then we're taking up space where God could remove us and put somebody there that will do what He has asked them to do. He taught that in a story about cutting down trees. And the farmer said, "Lord, let me dig about them and fertilize them and give them one more opportunity. And then if they produce not, cut them down and put them in the fire." My friend, your life's important to God, but your service to God is important. And if you're serving God, God's got a reason to keep you around because there aren't that many people out there doing the job that God wants done. Thirdly, another benefit in a believer's testimony of what God has done is seen that evening a multitude came to the house where Peter's mother-in-law was healed. Jesus had cast the demons out in the synagogue. A lot of people saw that, heard that. He went to Peter's house. They hear now that Peter's mother-in-law was miraculously healed. And so the multitude comes with all their needs seeking help from Jesus. Has your testimony caused somebody else to seek Jesus? Has somebody wanted what you have? Have you told somebody about being saved by grace through faith and God changing your life to whet their appetite that they want what you have? We should all be a witness and a testimony for the Lord. This man with an unclean spirit was healed, and now many came to the home that were possessed of demons, and Jesus healed them all. That demon in the synagogue had said, "We know who you are, Jesus. You're the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us?" And Jesus made the demon keep silence. Isn't it sad that a demon inside a man gave a greater testimony than many of Israel who did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Jesus rebuked the demon and he came out keeping silent. Men saw that Jesus was in authority even over the unclean spirits, and his fame spread because of this. Because of his work in the synagogue, the work in Peter's house, the word began to spread to multitudes, and Jesus healed all those that came that day with the various sicknesses and diseases that they had. That's why we focus in on the New Testament on about 37 specific miracles that took place by Jesus, but you can't number the amount of people that were healed and freed from demons when there are multitudes of people there and all of them are made well. My friend, every one of us that's been made whole by receiving Christ as our Savior need to give Him praise, and we need to serve Him, and we need to put Him first in our life. During this time, Jesus called His disciples, and several of them went with Him as He went into Capernaum. He called the four fishermen first, Peter and Andrew, James and John. Now, a lot of people read in the Gospels where Jesus came along and they were fishing and mending their nets. And Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." And they left everything and followed Him. That was not the first time they saw Jesus. These men were followers of John the Baptist. They had heard John say, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. They had walked with Jesus and said, Master, where are you dwelling? And he allowed them to go with him for a period of time. Now he's come to them and called them to come and be his disciples. And they've left everything and put him first. I wrestled greatly with the call of the ministry. I knew a little bit about what it takes. And I never felt worthy to be in the ministry. And finally, the Holy Spirit worked upon my heart. It's not based on my worthiness, it's based on His worthiness. And God wants us to share the message and tell how good He is and how much He loves us. He called the 12 and taught them and said, you must put denial of yourself first and then take up your cross daily and follow me. And these disciples did as they were bidden. Are we doing what God would have us to do? God's made us whole by saving us. Let's serve like Peter's mother-in-law. Father, we thank you for your word and all the folks here today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.